Ken Malnick's mayor. And I will, we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, I'd like everybody to know that we have time constraints today. We're not going to dawdle along, and so I'm going to limit discussions generally to not more than about 10 minutes, and I will give you a heads up when we're getting close to that time. We have a session of the county commissioners that several members of the council and the city manager want to attend. Item 4 is a discussion about updating the city's water management and conservation plan to meet Oregon's water resources. I'll turn that over to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. Let me just say briefly that, as I understand it, that back in 2009, Richard Norrett, did I say that right? Is it Norrett? Okay. Constructed a conservation plan for the sewer, or for the water district, in order to be able to preserve some additional water rights for the district, and that for whatever reason that plan was either not submitted or was submitted to the Oregon Water Resources Department, and or a fee wasn't submitted along with it, and so they did not process it. And so we need to preserve this additional 0.71 cubic feet per second allocation. I have talked to the water department, state water department, and they have sort of provided a plan for how the city would do that. We're going to have to ask for a time extension. We should consider withdrawing our beneficial use permit, and we may in the same breath want to update our conservation plan to reflect 2012 issues or concerns. And to help us do all of this, probably need to rely upon Mr. Norrett, who's provided this service before, been the district engineer for some time, very capable man, and he is here and would like to just share quickly his observations on how we go about resolving this. Maybe perhaps tell us a little bit about what kind of services he would need to perform, whether or not we have a contract with him to do these, and that sort of stuff. And sir, if you would just, in a very few minutes, tell us what we need to know about this very important matter.
Okay, thank you. Mayor and councilors, I'm gonna give you maybe, I might take 10 minutes, but to give you some background as to where we sat, because water rights are a little bit difficult to understand sometimes, but I'm gonna start with background. I'll tell you that the district filed and received a permit, it's G13444 for 2.23 CFS, and that was in 1998. That was the original water right that was given to the county. We then transferred it to the district. On November of 2007, we filed an extension of time request for full beneficial usage of the water, so we extended it at that point. February of 2008, they issued a final order extending the permit to the 1st of October 2012, but limiting the water use to 1.52 CFS until the district submitted a new water conservation management conservation plan. Now, we did one back in 2000 as well, but we updated it in 2007 as part of the water system master plan. And so all of that came through, finally approved in 2008, But they said, we're not going to do it until we get in the new water management conservation plan. So in March of 2009, we submitted the water management conservation plan, the one that I laid here before you, for approval. The state hasn't been able to locate that document. So that's an issue with them. But on June the 18th of 2009, they understand most things with the state in water resources takes about 5 years. So as you go through these dates and you look at it, everything takes 5 years. So we submit it, and 5 years later, it kind of comes around and we get something done. But so June of 2009, we filed a claim of beneficial use and report final survey requesting approval of the entire 2.23 CFS that was issued by the original permit in 1998. And along with that, in June of 2009, we resubmitted the Water Management Conservation Plan. They got it twice. So the issues are, some of the things that kind of leads into where this is. The regulations require submission of the Water Management Conservation Plan 30 days prior to acceptance before we can send it in other local entities. So in this case, we would have had to have approval from the city and also from the county in order to get this thing in. We gave copies of it. We gave the copies of the water management, the water master plan, which included the water management conservation plan. They're both entities. Apparently, Water Resources claims they didn't receive the review fee, which was right now at $1,600. Had it been filed in 2009, it would have been $800. I don't have access to district records anymore, but from everything we can find, they didn't have it either from our office or from the district. So something fell through the cracks. What I think happened is somebody didn't get the response back, and it would have gone back to the district. We had to have approval from the county, and we had to have approval from the city in order to file the Water Management Conservation Plan. Somebody, I don't think, gave us the letter back, and so it ended up that the district never sent in the $1,600, and it never happened. Complicated more now, the city of Lapine has filed on the water rights, which changes the name from the district to the city of Lapine. That's a kind of a bookkeeping thing, but it affects this water management conservation plan that we've got before you. So the solutions, and I think the only solution at this point, is that we need to request withdrawal of the final claim for beneficial usage that we filed in 2009. And that's a concern, but I don't think we have a choice. They're not going to get anything done by October of 2012. And the situation is we have to pull back that claim for final beneficial usage because the Water Management Conservation Plan hadn't been approved. And the concern that I have with it is there were a lot of entities who filed this thing in 2009 because there was issues with everybody in getting their full water rights. And we've got all kinds of agencies that are out there that are trying to pull back on water rights and leave more water for the fish. And unfortunately, where we are with it now is it's 3 years later and those entities got bigger. So we may have more of a problem getting the whole 2.23 CFS, even though we have a permit for it. But I don't think we have a choice. We need to resubmit the Water Management Conservation Plan with a letter at this point just from Deschutes County, which I don't think will be a big thing, and a check for $1,600 provided for the state's review of the document. The state will then accept the Water Management Conservation Plan two ways, either with a letter of approval from the city and the county, or they will accept the plan directly from the city if we change the names of everything and, in effect, updated it, as Steve has talked about, to address it from the city. And that would involve some changes by the owner and the addition of a bunch of filling information to the document. I don't think it changes a lot, except in reviewing what's in there, I think at this point it would be better to do it as more of a standalone plan so that we try to get that information to the state and they can approve it rather than what happened, what it says in this document is it refers back to the Water Management Company, to the Water Master Plan, which was part of the whole document. So it just keeps kicking it back and forth. I think we'd be better off to clean it up at this point. And then once the Water Management Conservation Plan has been submitted, the city would then refile. And we'd submit it and understand it might take 5 years. We refiled the claim for beneficial usage that was filed in 2009. It should be amended at this point to read the city of Lapine since the rights of the process have been transferred. And the reason we have to pull it back now is if they were to issue the total water right, well, they can't issue the total water right. If they were going to do it without approval of the Water Management Conservation Plan, they would issue the water right for 1.52 and we'd lose the remainder of the water right. And what our experience has been with the district is we haven't found, they didn't find any water rights. So it's really difficult. That 0.7 CFS is a huge difference to the city of Lapine. We need to do everything we can to keep it. So we've got to pull back what we've got, back up to where we thought we were in 2009, and then do that document over. So I don't think we're looking at a lot of changes to make, unless the council wants to see big changes to the water management conservation plan. We've spent a lot of time on it. There's some of these that I've seen that run $30,000 to $50,000. What I would have a tendency to do with this one is to try to modify it a little bit and do it for maybe a couple thousand dollars. So just modify it, change the wording around, try to make it work together so it serves the city. So with that, questions?
This is doable in the time frame we have to the first, is that the 1st of October?
It's the 1st of October. We'll get it approved by then.
But we need to file it by then.
Yeah, we can get everything in by October. We can request withdrawal of what we've already done. And once we've got everything refiled, then we'll resubmit it.
Okay.
And we'll have to go back and change the claim for beneficial usage. Because Scott worked, you know, we ran both the wells to prove up on the fact that we can use all the water. I wouldn't change any of that. We've already done it.
Okay.
So I think we just change it from, since the city's applied, see, once you start pulling this stuff back, then it's no longer the district, now it's the city.
Right.
So we have to change that as well, but we've got it all on card. So
okay.
It's all on the computer.
Questions, Councilor?
Who at the state is in charge of the water rights?
It's Oregon Water Resources Department.
And the contact there?
The contact is Lisa, I think it's Jaramillo. It's Jaramillo.
Can you shoot that to Steve?
Contact with Lisa already. We've talked back and forth and have sort of a game plan worked out. I just want to say how important this is. We're talking about equivalent to a third of the water that the city, or half the water that the city has right now. And if we don't get that and complete it and protect it, then we won't be able to grow and develop. So this has been something 10 years in the making or 12 years in the making. It's fallen down. We need to reactivate it. We need to hurriedly do it so that we're healthy, wealthy, and wise. And anything this gentleman says at this point, I just think we need to march forth with it and just take care of it.
So I can say to the council that Mr. Norred and the city manager have started sort of coming together on this and have a plan to make this happen, and it's in our best interest, obviously. And unless, does anybody have any questions, we'll, okay.
Is that G13444, is it that permit?
It's the same permit, yes.
Yeah.
the thing that was coming up, what about the mitigation? Do you have to phase in mitigation or do something on that? Is there some sort of an issue with that?
We don't have to mitigate the water that was received prior to 2000. So the original water right that we filed doesn't require mitigation. But the truth of the matter is that water right doesn't have enough water to go for the long-term future of Lapine. So we were looking for other water rights that we could transfer that required mitigation. So we actually have 1.4 CFS that's been approved, but we have to mitigate for that 1.4. $1 million to get that additional mitigation. It's going to be expensive as time goes on. This water right doesn't require mitigation.
Okay.
Then I'd like to ask the council for consensus that the city manager proceed. And with the,
I agree.
Yes.
Okay.
And very important, this whole conversation is Scott's participation.
Absolutely. Item number five is the City Hall Highway 97 frontage, and I'll ask the city manager to take a couple of minutes on that.
Okay, I'm just going to read and then paraphrase on what it says here in our agenda. It says, City Hall Highway frontage along 97. One of the council's goals for this year was to reconstruct the City Hall frontage that serves as a template for development and redevelopment along Highway 97. The council earmarked $20,000 for that purpose. A preliminary estimate places that cost closer to $75,000. The city is attempting to procure matching ODOT funds to accomplish this task in its entirety. In the interim, staff is recommending the City Hall frontage be landscaped to include installation of an irrigation system. And if we're going to do this, we need to do it timely. Mayor and I have been out looking at how we would put an irrigation system in right now over the next week or two. Also, as part of that, to look at the possibility of extending some power source out to the signage out here and for maybe a power light to go out alongside the building and maybe some lighting for landscaping purposes. To be followed by the actual landscaping itself within a week or two. And then also you should, well, let me pass these out. As part of that, and as part of, another goal, and as part of the next item, number six, we've talked about youth, the city helping to sponsor youth with employment ventures. And staff is proposing the City Hall landscape effort, if approved, be initiated through youth effort with proper oversight and supervision. And I'd like to pass around these. These are from Stu, and this is just a service agreement that they have with youth and sort of a reflection of how we go about doing something with youth. And maybe Stu, you'd like to comment on the youth aspect of this, but I think what I'm seeking from the council is just authorization to move forward with irrigation, possibly some electrification, the actual landscaping, and the employment of youth, so that we have something very attractive and functional to enhance our city until such times as we have the proceeds to do something more extensive like sidewalks, curb, gutter, drainage, that sort of stuff.
Okay, any questions?
Just comment, Lee, you know, my son, up until a couple days ago, worked for Sun River Resort, and they had an arrangement where they hired youth from the Youth Challenge Group for the nation. For work, and they're generally donated $10 or $11 an hour for their help. So they were assisting an organization as well as getting help from youth. So I just kind of was made aware of that a few days ago, and I thought that might be something that would be.
I would just add to that. I had a conversation with one of the local directors of the Heart of Oregon youth organization. And they have a program where they will come and help for free or take money, and it's viable. I think part of this is we're talking about using our local youth. So I think it's a good way to get started with what we've already put into our priorities.
And the program that we have is gives a responsibility to the individual youth.
Right.
they are accountable for everything that they do. You know, they're responsible for clocking in, clocking out, taking their lunch, reporting unsafe conditions. It's all geared towards responsibility. And I believe that a program like this, even though those other organizations are great, that's a group organization. Right. This is individual.
Group mentality.
So it's more of a one-on-one one possibility. And we've done this for probably the last 8 years. We've always had someone from the high school out at our facility, and they've gone on. Some of them are still working for us after 15 years. So.
Okay. So it's a high school. It's high school age.
High school age and older.
Yeah. Any other, Don?
Can we go back to this number five for just a second?
Sure.
How much were we talking about putting in right now? And if we put it in, is this something that's going to be disturbed if they come in and do the balance of it? In other words, are we going to wind up paying twice for some of this, or are we able to put it in such a way that it won't be disturbed when the rest of the work is done?
Good question.
I think the answer is yes and no. I think with the idea that we have some kind of template for what it would look like in terms of overall design, that how we would construct the placement of the irrigation and the lighting conduit, if we put it in, would be fashioned in such a manner as not to intrude where the rest of it would go. Obviously, we're going to end up with some landscaping in places and probably have to be relocated later. And we'll have to put some bark in that will have to move around. So some of it will have to be removed. And yes, some of it will be a cost that won't withstand the rigors of time.
Well, is there any reason why we have to do anything that might possibly be removed later and let it wait until everything is done at the same time?
Just, you know, I won't know if we're going to get any money, so we're betting on the come. And I just would rather have something attractive now and presentable. I mean, Rick and the rest of you put tremendous times and energy into this building. It now has, you know, it's a beautiful, attractive building. It's our presentation piece for the community. It's the very first thing you see as you come in the community. And I sure hate to see it complemented with a sordid front and those birds that you're so fond of, too, Don.
I see you must be a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
I am, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact.
Thank you, Brother Mayor.
Okay.
Right. So was that a yes or a no, Don?
Pardon?
Yes.
I think you received whatever the majority.
Do we? I think it's the question now is: do we have consensus that we move forward with trying to clean this up out here and do the few minor things like do a little planting and some an irrigation drip system that we have capability to hook into in the interim of the long range plan to make that look decent.
Did we hear what the estimated cost of that?
The basic.
Just a temporary set.
No.
I don't have a cost estimate for you.
Is there no irrigation out there at all?
Yeah, there's an irrigation system out here, and I've actually inspected the system, and it's operational.
They must go to these bushes.
Yeah.
Bushes.
Yeah, all these bushes around here, but it's not on. It's not on at all. But there is three zones, and we've identified them. I've checked out all the equipment that's associated with it. I reestablished the main control box out here. You know, batteries and reset the timing and everything.
If I could.
Please.
We do have an estimate on the landscaping that was given to you by, is it Little River or something?
Little River Design?
No, actually they didn't give me. What they did is they provided a landscape template.
Okay.
Okay. It says here are the different kinds of plants and bushes that all things considered are climate, what's available, what's cost effective, what makes for a pleasing view,
You can take that and scale it down.
We can scale it down. And again, if you want to hold me to a number, a dollar amount, then that's fine. I really don't want to spend a lot of money on this, but I want to spend a little bit to make a difference.
$100 too much?
I would think $100 would be too much.
I'm ready to move forward on it.
All right. We're in consensus, the city manager, move forward.
Okay, well, that was also item six. Now, item seven, and then just, I know Don has grown very affectionate of the birds.
2 minutes.
But we have put out a request for construction services to remedy the bird roosting. And I just wanted to show you this. I'm going to pass it around. We have this at the counter. This is sort of the construction bid document. So if you come in, your interest in providing for this service, I've got an overview letter that tells you what I'm looking for. And then we show each of the gable ends on the building, their crosshatch, and it shows what portion of that needs remedy. Right? So that's what you get, and then the date that they have to provide a bid by is August 10th. Okay? That gives it time to go in the Newberry Eagle and get some real advertisement out there. Okay? Not that I'm trying to cater to any individual.
Is that it?
That is it, sir.
Any questions?
So August 10th.
August 10th, that is correct. So they've got to have whatever they're having. And the thing is, I've already had 5 or 6 unsolicited proposals, but they're all over the charts. They're going to re-roof the building. They're going to put soffit all around. They're going to repaint the building. And I'm going, okay, hold the phone, Jones. We just need some wiring up there. Well, I'll do it on the cheap. And if that don't work, then we'll go to the shotguns. All right, but you didn't hear me say that.
So.
That was just more of an update. All right. It's sort of a done deal at this point. Okay.
And then item eight is agreement to provide tourism promotion services. And city manager, if you will tear into that, please.
Yes, and there's two parts to it. First of all, you've seen the agreement that we had before you at the last council meeting. And at that time, you did not have input from our attorney yet. So I've received our attorney's input, which, you know, it'd be my view that we would rely upon his language. You know, he hasn't substantially changed anything other than he's restructured the language so that it's not understandable anymore. Okay, and so I wanted to just pass around his red line copies. Each of you is take one, and that's his input. Okay, and again, it takes it from a decipherable to an undecipherable document.
You get too many of the red and blues, you can't.
That's right. The second thing is, if you recall, and pretty much Don, and I'm not picking on you today, Don, I love you actually, has led the charge to find out what the asked the chamber to report on the TRT funding for the last year. And for whatever reason, it was a long time in the making. And we had the conversation with the chamber at the last meeting. And after we concluded that conversation, and one of the items that was took a long time during the course of our meeting was whether or not there ought to be a cap on the amount of payroll that was dedicated for TRT revenues. And I believe we had a 25% cap, and that was at the urging of a couple of you. And for whatever reason, we set it aside. And I think part of why we set it aside was that we were told that those proceeds went to a lot of different individuals. And then up to 75% of them was available for payroll. And then about 2 days later, we received the actual report And the report said that 57% of the proceeds went for a payroll as opposed to 75. And two, approximately a third of that was for the director's salary. And I had a little bit of problem with that because it was the director, after all, that was urging us not to place a cap on there, because all these monies went to a whole lot of different persons for a whole lot of different reasons. And I think in light of the new information, I would ask you once again to consider whether or not you want to place a cap on the amount of those proceeds that can be used for payroll purposes. And I'm just going to suggest that that range be somewhere between 20% and 50%. Okay? Doesn't have to be anything that really constrains the chamber, but on the other hand, I think without some kind of a number, yeah, conceivably all those monies could go for payroll. And you know, and the thing that gets lost in all of this conversation too is, it is the city after all that goes out and ensures that those monies come in and are given to the chamber. And second, if something were to go astray over there, it's not the chamber that would be held accountable for that action, it's us folks. So I think always, with respect to these monies, whatever you want to do, one of the reasons I've been a stickler that we have some agreement is we're finally accountable for those dollars, or public dollars, and if we don't make sure that they're used judiciously, and I'm not saying they haven't been, I'm just saying I want to make sure that never, never are they used other than as they should be. So, with you know some direction or guidance or whatever, you can leave it just as it is. With my recommendation that at least you take and add the attorney's weasel words, and or you can add something further.
I've got a thought. Just because I have experience in the chamber, it takes a certain amount of manpower to do a visitor center and have. You know, we've talked about that. I talked to Alana at Central Oregon Visitor Association about this because I wondered how it worked with them. She said, oh yeah, our percentages are much less. But she said, what you have to keep in mind is you don't have a very big pool of money to start with. When you talk to employing people with $40,000 or $50,000 budget, you can't go very far. And when you have three people that they're being utilized for those purposes, it does spread it kind of thin. And her suggestion is that we look at the numbers, not the percentages, because we are a small town. We don't get lots of TRT funds compared to most communities. Compared to Sisters, Redmond, even Prineville, our TRT dollars are pretty low. I'm not sure what Madras is. I'm not too familiar. But a thought that I had is we know that the operation works where it is. You know, it's been functioning. What if we created a base with some kind of a percentage? If everybody feels like there should be a cap, I'm sort of against that because I don't think it's fair for us to require that of them and not of our other vendors. You know, you don't tell the mosquito guy, that's my example, you don't tell the mosquito guy, we need to know how much you're spending on employees, you know? No. And you don't, the guy, when you hire the guy to do the maintenance or the landscaping, the chain improvements out here, you're probably not going to ask him how much is going to grass seed and how much is going to manpower. You're looking for the end result. But I think Alana's point is well taken, that it costs us, there's a certain amount that you have to come up with. And I don't want to see the city undermine what we're able to offer, the hospitality that we're able to offer our visitors to this community. If they have to lay off somebody, if they have to quit being a visitor center, if something like that occurs, then it's not going to benefit any of us. We have put in place a requirement, I believe, with this agreement for reporting to occur. And so there's always the opportunity in the future to say, wow, this seems like it's getting way out of hand, explain why, you know. But and if there's suggestions that we have as to some other beneficial thing to do rather than manpower, then I think we ought to say what that is.
I can't quite reach the fact that comparing what they do over there with that money to a vendor like the termite or the
Terminex,
the mosquitoes, is even anywhere near. The money for TRT has several pieces to it that can't be looked at any other way. When we talk about a Terminex contractor, we're talking about killing mosquitoes. That's the end result. There's nothing more to it. And the same thing with getting something done out here with the landscape. When we're talking about TRT money, we're talking about paying salaries, but we're also talking about advertising out there, and it's actually several different end results that the way you do one impacts the other one. And I'm just going to give you some numbers that I know about. I know that the director, well, first off, I really have a problem with the fact that they came and that the director spoke to us and gave us a bunch of numbers and didn't basically recluse herself from the fact that this is a direct impact on her. Or declare that I get this will impact my salary. I think that could have at least been brought up to the council. We do it at the council level. I think it's a responsible thing to do, and I have a problem with that. The other thing is when I look at the chamber and the visitor center, I see two functions there. And I have to work through my head that knowing, based upon the financial records we got, that $1,600 comes from the chamber and $1,600 comes from the TRT funds to pay the director's salary. And I guess the problem there is that I'm trying to figure out why it's 50%. I can't convince myself, and I can be wrong. I don't know enough about it. And Dan, I take your advice very seriously because you've been there, you know. But the fact that half the time that person is doing tourism, and half the time they're doing chamber, and I just don't see that. I just don't see it.
Well, in a small community, it's hard to validate or justify exactly how much time you spend on anything because, you know, 1 minute a phone call is one thing, another is another thing. In general, I would guess that if you could do that, you would find it off-sited more toward tourism. You don't need a building like that to have that kind of a building to support a chamber of commerce. That's business owners, that's an association. But you do need that to have, you know, you need to have somebody there all, you know, to greet visitors and to keep supplies in place and all that. So but you know, you could get into the details and find out more. But from the chamber standpoint, that's sort of a guesstimate that seemed like a realistic fair scenario.
I'd like to know who's going to sign the agreement.
If you look at the new agreement that we have crafted by the attorney,
Linda,
it would be
Chamber Press.
Linda and the mayor.
It would be the director?
No,
it would be
president of
the chamber. President. Okay. Because my feeling is if the director signed it, it would be a direct conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. And not only a conflict of interest, but there's a possibility that there's a code of ethics violation. And that may have happened in the past. And I'm not trying to bring up anything. I just wanted to make sure that when we decide what we're going to do, that it's done in a proper manner. We want to be upright and forthright with the citizens of this community when we tell them how we're spending our funds. And I really feel that there should be some sort of an amount set as for salaries. I mean, whether you want to take a percentage or whether you want to say a flat salary, one of the two, I think something should be put in there. Thank you.
Having said all, having gone this far, and Kathy, unless you've got something to say, I'd like to ask if the council to speak to the idea of, if, do you believe there should be a cap?
I do. I wonder about the volunteers, how many volunteers are, because it's nonprofit, and how many volunteers are actually supporting that, because volunteers are very capable of doing a lot of things. And they're very resourceful, very valuable. So I wonder about that. Yeah, it's difficult for me because I listen to Dan, and yet at the same time, I just feel like it's a little too much, that that could be used in other ways to benefit the tourism in the city.
Stu?
This subject has been before us for quite a while now, and unfortunately with the time constraints we have today and just receiving this today, you know, not having gone through it from the attorney's standpoint, I'm not comfortable making a final decision,
can I add something real quick to this?
Quick.
The question was, do you think there ought to be a cap? Because
I don't know.
After that, because I'm going to refer this back to the next session of the regular meeting.
Okay.
For solution. But I was just trying to get an idea of where we're going.
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Does anybody know what the standard of practice is? Is there a standard practice?
No.
For what? For dictating to a visitor center how much they spend on different locations?
No. You know, I want to say that I've served on a number of chamber boards around the country. I've been on chamber executive boards. In most places, they fund all of their organization from their membership. And so there's always very little monies available. But fortunately for our chamber, there are these TRT proceeds available, and that's very helpful. But to me, that's pretty uncommon for some public agency to be able to come in and provide support for a chamber other than its own annual contribution toward that. So there isn't a lot of precedent to rely upon.
Well, there's a lot in Oregon.
Well, in Oregon, but this is only one of 50 states.
We're operating in Oregon, and when you go to the chamber meeting, the association meetings, the bulk of them operate their visitor centers with TRT.
No, I understand. You just said is, you know,
I'm looking for a standard in our region, in our state. Wonder if anybody's done any research. Are we just going to? It feels like we're going into territory that we're not really well versed in.
And you know, I have to agree with everyone. You know, these are public monies, and we're the ones responsible for it. We're the ones that are going to be in, you know, hot water if something happens. But a cap. I don't like the word cap, but I think there should be a limit. And I don't agree with the way things were done, but yet I haven't been able to digest this yet.
Can I ask you this? Mm-hmm. And that is, if we bring it up sort of in the same format at the council meeting here in 2 weeks, are you okay with the discussion as it's going? Mm-hmm. Sort of. Mm-hmm.
Okay. With that, we'll put this on the agenda for the council meeting of August the 8th, and item.
Just so I can read one thing I did on just on July 22nd of 2011. I sent an email to Eileen Stein and asked her, could you send me the contract or agreements that you have with the chamber or visitor center in your city, sisters? The response was, I'm not aware of any contract we have with the chamber. Might be a good idea, So I sent the same thing to the City of Hatteras Administrator. He says, we do not have a written agreement with the chamber.
Okay.
So what I found was, when I researched this, was only Bend had one that was only, that Bend had one. And no one else at that time in 2011 had any.
We did research, and there are some cities that do have them. I have a list, and we can provide that. In fact, I'll make sure that we provide that list.
Okay.
Of what we found in our discovery. Okay.
Item 9.
All right. We have several intergovernmental agreements with different agencies. We have several of these with Deschutes County, and one of them that we have is for planning services, and that planning services agreement is about to expire if it hasn't already, and thus there's a need to reactivate that agreement until such times as we have the capacity to address land use matters. The county has looked over the agreement they've had with us, and they've said, you know, we would like to propose to you as part of this agreement or any subsequent agreement that you consider having us do your code enforcement services to include solid waste code violations. And then we have an even more recent agreement draft that you haven't seen that would also have the county provide for our geographic information based system mapping processes, because we need maps from time to time. We do not have the capacity. We could contract for that, or they could contract for that. One of the newspapers I read frequently is the Wall Street Journal, and there was a really good article this weekend on Malala, yeah, I hope I said that correctly, and how they outsource their jobs with Clackamas County in order to help sustain their operation. And I just wanted to pass around that article. I think it's a really good article. And this is in the same vein, that is, rather than bringing something in-house, or, you know, why not outsource, or, you know, why have something come this way that doesn't have to come this way if somebody is already doing it? Okay. And again, that was one of the arguments for bringing sewer and water to the city, is you're going to not only gain the economies of scale and avoid the duplications of services, but you might find out that the sewer and the water people have capacities go beyond just sewer and water. And already talking to Scott, he wants to go out and do some work on the cemetery once it's in our authorship. He's suggested that maybe in tandem with a contractor that his people could go up and do some of that work up in the Cagle neighborhood to get rid of some of those trees up there. So we're already starting to get a benefit from, you know, another agency. And I'm coming aboard, but I'm looking at anything and everything to make sure that we're cost effective, that we live within our means, we don't have a lot of monies, and if we can outsource to our advantage, then we ought to. Okay. And that's all I'm going to say on the subject. Eventually you would have to approve an agreement, any agreement that was constructed. It's still in its draft stages, and so you'll see the iterations of it as it comes forth, and then finally our attorney will then translate it so you can understand it. Okay?
Thank you very much. Item 10 is discussion about honoring Ashton Eaton for his athletic excellence.
Mr. Mayor, we have someone that has been a member of our community that has just exceeded all bounds with respect to athletic ability. And the question that was presented to us by Gary Tash, the physical ed teacher at the Pine, is whether we would consider honoring this very outstanding young man for his accomplishment. So I bring that forth so as to just get some sense that yes, you would, or no, you wouldn't. So staff knows kind of which way to go.
then I'd ask the council members to think about how we could do this. The general process might be a proclamation. Another piece of that could be an Ashton Eaton Day, you know, and I'll let it go around the table.
Seems appropriate. All that.
Sue?
I like the concept. I know that the chamber is already working on something, so maybe we could join forces with them. The school district's already working on something, so I think also we should wait and see how he does.
Okay.
Stu, you just threw me for a loop there. Yeah, I support it. I think it's, we need positive role models for these kids, and the fact that he was here, and even if he doesn't do as well as we hope he's going to do, you know, the fact is he's worked hard, he's gone through it, and I just think it's a positive thing for the kids, especially these local kids. So I would agree to whatever, working within a group or chamber or whatever.
I think that the whole community should go together and plan one huge celebration so that we're all involved in it, so that the whole community gets involved. And we ought to work with every organization that's planning on working with them. That's my opinion.
Sorry, that didn't come out.
I didn't think it did.
No, it
didn't. You want to go over to
No, me? She.
Okay. I got it.
It's following along that I think it's a case worthy of the city doing something. I mean, I agree totally with the idea that we get together with the community and be part of the community's celebration and putting forth something. But I think this is a situation where it's worthy of the city to do those two pieces, which will just be an accumulation of other accolades that the other organizations in the community want to do themselves. So I would recommend that we do a proclamation, at least a proclamation, and in conjunction with and do that announcement in conjunction with with the other organizations. I think yeah. then we joined the community, but I think it's worthy of the city to do this, and that's what I recommend. Consensus there?
Mm-hmm. That we do something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Something.
Well,
I think you need we had Jacoby Ellsbury, who won the World Series, Boston Red Sox, you know, we brought him to Paris, and it was all one event. I mean, we had to have a parade, we had a big thing at the high school, and all kinds of stuff, and I think I know what Stu's trying to say is, you make it Jacoby Ellsbury. It could be Ashton Eaton Day, but it's all part of something.
Right.
So you really don't have to pick it now. It could be 3 months from now. He may be an Olympian by then, a gold medalist. So it says gold medalist. If he doesn't, he still is the world record holder. So I think you have to let the Olympics play out. Find out what the school wants to do, because they may want to have some things where he's signing autographs to third graders, and it's a whole day. Or half, you know, 2 or 3 hours, and it has to coordinate with his family, with his desires, and everything. And then you would have a proclamation or something.
Okay.
But
I think that really sums it up all. And I guess I'd say, do we have a volunteer around the council that wants to sort of head this up?
If we all get consensus that we're going to do something, and then wait for it to play out, then.
We'll talk more about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Because that way it gives all the other organizations time to do that.
I agree with that.
I agree.
Okay. There is consensus. Item 11 is suggestions to improve the Lapine City Council agenda, add agenda items, public comment, consent, presentation, etc.
I just wanted to add one more thing, but Ashton Eaton, you know, he went to a college, and I know that's why Stu's having problems, too.
Did he go to the Ducks?
Well, of course.
Well, then I changed.
So now you understand the real problem.
Yeah.
The rest of the story, I have to agree, real quick, I've been on their webpage for the last 2 days trying to on a project, so I know.
And I had to do Jacoby Albert, who was a Beaver. So.
All right.
City manager?
Ladies and gentlemen, item 11 is a some suggestions and improvement to the council agenda. And then let me just try and throw out both sides of this issue and then maybe turn it over to Don to kind of articulate his point of view. You know, it's really tough to be a council member because, you know, you have to sit there and listen and be very respectful to what folks have to say. And sometimes that just takes a long time and a lot of patience. And you just assume the meeting went faster than it does, but you just can't find yourself there because respect says the dictate is we just need to hear everybody out. On the other hand, if you go too slow, if you have protracted meetings, and particularly if you really don't come to any final conclusions, not only have you wasted your time, but, you know, you can chase off public participation by having meetings that everybody just dreads attending. So somewhere in between lies the truth. And with that, I'll turn it over to Don to give you his brother's point. Don?
I think I mentioned it to Stu, and I think Stu feels too that sometimes we take a little too much extra time, and my idea is if you have an item, an added agenda item that nobody knows about, why not give them a 3-minute presentation and then refer it to whatever place that the city needs to refer it, like the Planning Commission, Public Works, or a council work session, or to the next council meeting. But the idea is to get it over with, make the presentation, get it over with. The same with the public comment. And then when you get to a presentation to the council, they should be able to put a presentation on in 10 minutes. And again, the council should be prepared after that presentation to refer it to whatever part of the governing agency that you want to refer it to. And you be out on that is if it isn't done in 10 minutes and you feel there's more to be said, the council by majority can say, yes, go ahead, present more. But the idea is to try to speed up the meeting so we can get it done in the allotted time that we have. Staff reports is another thing. If we have a staff report in our packet, we can go over that staff report before the meeting, and when we ask for a staff report here, all Steve would have to do is just summarize what he said, and he could get it over with in 1 or 2 minutes instead of reading the whole report. My idea is not to stifle anybody. The idea is to try to make the meeting more interesting and move it along so that we don't get stuck on one thing. And a fine example of that was the last council meeting. We spent, what, an hour and a half on 2 different subjects, and we did not resolve either one of them. And right now, we're doing the TRT thing again. And it looks like we're going to be doing it the next meeting too. So if that had, I don't know, maybe if we'd have kind of cut it down a little bit and gotten all of this stuff together and we could have read it on our own before the meeting, maybe we could come up with an answer quicker. The idea was is to put it out there, and certainly I'm not saying this is the die-hard thing. I think it's up to the council to say what they want to do. And if they don't like it, throw it out. Just that simple. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I will tell you that it's a balancing act. I think that the thing with this TRT is a very serious issue and a very serious subject, that if everybody doesn't get to say their piece, that we're going to have rumblings through the city over being either cut off or not being allowed to speak. And I really believe that it is a subject of high volatility, and there was, in my mind, there was no way to deal with that in any other way. You cannot ever tell what a subject is going to be in talking about it. We come with an idea that we're going to get out in 2 hours. I kind of think that that's doing everybody a disservice, because you just don't know that it's going to be 2 hours. It might be an hour, it might be 2 hours, and granted, we've had a couple of long meetings, but I think both of those two subjects were very important, and I could see no way to stop the input. And but I agree that we could move along a little faster at times. I would say that we all engage in dawdling at times. So the staff and I have both heard the input. And is there any other comments?
I like concise meetings. But somebody, I think the way it's set up with the mayor overseeing the meeting, trying to keep it on track, is pretty good. Somebody needs to be in charge of making the judgment calls. But I think it's okay for us to prod him sometimes, if it's necessary, whoever that mayor would be. Whoever's leading the meeting, I think it's okay for us to say, to remind them. But the way the system is set up, I think it's set up for that reason, because you sort of elevate yourself and look down at the whole thing that's going on and try to make judgment calls as to what's going to be effective. So, and I'm not real sure that I'm clear on the proposal here, how it'd be different, except for some time frames, and I like those. I think those are good targets. I think it'd be nice to say, maybe if the people that were presented knew that they only had 7 minutes or 10 minutes or something like that, and then there's maybe somebody can ring a bell or something, and we do that at the chamber breakfast, we do that at Toastmasters, and people are packed, so maybe there is ways to kind of do that. But for me, we all have to remember we're here not for ourselves, but for the public. And so they need to be heard. And I remember how frustrating it was out there trying to put in a word and not having a full opportunity to do that. It's really frustrating sometimes. So that good communication sometimes just takes time.
Mm-hmm. I kind of follow Dan. I like a uniform meeting too. But on the other hand, I think the public deserves to be heard. They need to be heard and listened to build up that trust within the community. And I don't know. Those two meetings, those two topics were difficult. And I just feel sometimes, especially the TRT, as the meeting went on, we gained a little bit more knowledge as to what was going on. So sometimes it's okay, but would I want to do that every time? Absolutely not. But how do you find that balance? I think as long as people feel heard, have been heard. That's the main thing for me. This is for our community, and I don't care who they are. They have to have the feeling that they're welcome here, that they can say what they need to say, and get it off their chest. And I think that's the important thing. But also on the other side, if some people know they've only got 3 minutes, that's probably good for them, because they say, oh good, I don't have to say much. I can get it done over, and I'm out of here.
I think there's a balance in there that you need to understand that, you know, you say, okay, you got 10 minutes. Well, what really needs to be said can't be said in 10 minutes. And then you get questions that come after that. So then it goes from 10 minutes into 15 minutes. And so I think there's a balance here. I have no problem recognizing the fact that we ought to put some time limits on it and everything. But when it starts, when somebody starts saying some more stuff, you don't know when you're going to get a little more information, just like we're talking about here. We gained a lot from that. So I think having a discussion along these lines is good. And unless there's further comment?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. I can see where Don's coming from. I can see where we're all coming from. But we have to have structure. If we lose structure, we're not a city council. We're just another group of people sitting here talking. Now, along that line, I think the public does have a right to talk and to address the city council with a time limit. Now, 3 minutes, you know, I was at a meeting, that's what I was trying to write down, but I pinned it up. It's just like the county commissioners do. You fill a card out before the meeting to address the council. Or like we have, comment. The last word is comment, not interaction. If they want interaction, they can fill the card out to address the council on the topic. We're growing up. You know, we're not the little group sitting down, you know. If they really wanted to get into it and have a particular subject that is dear to their heart, they can ask to be put on the agenda. And we have the forms for that, and everybody knows that. You know, look at all the folks that have come before us already. You know, we have rules. Everyone has to play by the same rules. If we let one person go, we have to let the next person go. And it does take a balance. Right there. And it is hard to decide, okay, they've gone past a minute or 3 minutes. If it's an important topic, I agree, let it go a little bit more. But when you have public comment and all of a sudden you're engaging, we can go 10 minutes on that. Because then the next person has it, well, that triggered something in their mind.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful about all of that. But you know, all the other organizations, you fill a card out to address, and I think we need to start doing that here because it is going to do nothing but get busier.
Yeah. Stu, let me add to that. I think that the key, and we have the rules here, is that if it's going to go past comments, you need to fill out a request to put it on the agenda, you know, period. And then there's nothing else going to happen except comments. You don't do that, and that gives it, and it has to be done the 5 days ahead of time, so it can go out in the council package. So all of those are pieces that are the structure that are to be enforced, and I, as far as I can tell, they are. One of the rules that I've always, and this will be my last comment about it, but when we get public comments, I would hope everybody notices that I never answer with anything but thank you. That's it. I don't. It's not a discussion. It's a comment. So.
And one more added agenda item. You know, and this is with all respect. I'm guilty. There was one here not too long ago, but for. Out of respect for other counselors, we need, you know, to get subjects in proper time so they can go out in the packet. Because our office staff, when revised agenda, last week there was about 4 revised agendas. You know, it's putting stress on them, on us. So, you know, just...
It makes us look bad when we have to revise the agenda, revise the agenda, revise the agenda. It does.
And I know
we
things
feel
pop
silly.
Up, but those are, you know, like emergency things. If they're day-to-day stuff, right. I can wait. I'm done. Thank you.
And now we go to other city topics of interest. Everybody got a copy of the charges and fees associated with sewer and water?
I've got copies.
And we're going to leave that right there.
Okay.
The other thing is there's a program through ODOT called the STP program. I've asked Gary. I'd like to have Gary Farnsworth come to council and make a presentation on that at our next council meeting. It's extremely important. It's how the state's going to divide out the ODOT funds in the future. And who's going to LOC? Are you going to LOC?
I don't know. I'm going to my Washington. Sure.
Okay. There's just an early bird fee that we save money. And I think Friday is the last day for that.
Okay. Where is it this year?
It's in Salem. With that, I'll add a public comments. You've got 1 minute.
Just one? Used to be three.
We're going to adjourn at 1:15.
Okay. First of all, I'd just like to make a couple comments. That's all it's going to be. One thing that would possibly help streamline your meetings is making sure that the council, as far as the city court and whoever's giving them the information, that they have everything they need and that they do their homework also, so they come to the meeting prepared with what they need to discuss and should make the discussions. Just a thought. The other thing was the TRT funds. That has kind of been a topic on the table since day one. But just a reminder, the purpose of the fund is to encourage tourism. And those funds come from the motel owners that are paying that tax. And it's up to the city to distribute those taxes to promote tourism. So it brings more business, so they get more motel stays and such. So it should, as the tourism increases, so should the funds. So just a reminder, that's where that is. Might go back to the statutes and try to search that again, see if there's anything in there about the disbursements. But it is the city's responsibility, and that's why it's a separate fund. It has to be used for that.
Anyway. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
You're
further public comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Mayor.
Oops.
Real quickly before you go, I just want to advise the council the need to audit the Lapine sewer and water districts, and our intent is to hire Harrigan, Price, and
Franck
to do this audit review. They are familiar with the districts, and we have budgeted for this action item. And I just wanted to let you know that we're intending to do that. Any concerns or reservations about that, let me know. But that we just need to have it done, and that's who we believe should do it. And then quickly, on the EDCO thing, the mayor's called my attention that we really ought to qualify who is going to serve on this board, be it a council member or some member of the community, and so I'd have you be thinking about that. And then finally, we have a labor law council request for proposal for services that's going out, and I'm going to hand around a copy so you know what we're doing, but we're looking for labor attorney services. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And
oh yes, we're going to take 1 minute to remind everybody or let everybody know that our city manager is having a birthday.
Can we sing now?
Yes.
Sing now, Barry.
This is just a real evil thing on your part.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Landry. Happy birthday to you and many more.
Thank you very much.
42 and his mama still calls him baby. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right.
All right.
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Is that turn?
Do we have time to eat? I think we need to be on the road right now.
Happy birthday.
Does that come with an
I think
we put this in the freezer?